Well, hopefully, in this part of our discussion prior to Maghrib, we're going to get into energy production. Now, it is World Earth Day, or many people would like to call it World Earth Week, wherein we talk about things related to the environment itself, the built environment. And part of the environmental discussion is obviously the focus upon energy. Energy is, in fact, you know what, the hot topic discussion, not just here in South Africa, but the procurement of good, clean energy and a sustainable grid is a discussion globally. That what's going to happen with the impact of hotter weather, likely hotter weather, growing population in many parts of the world, increased manufacturing and agriculture that has got a greater demand on the electrical grid. Well, South Africa's electricity sector is on the brink of hopefully some transformation with the recent passage of the Electricity Regulation Amendment or ERA Bill. Now, this bill promises to revolutionize how electricity is generated, distributed, and traded in the country, ushering in an era of, competition and innovation. That I'm sure many people are looking forward to, that you don't just have one procurer of electricity, but it's an era of competition and innovation. However, stakeholders weigh in on its implications. Questions arise about its potential impact on market dynamics and regulatory oversight. Will this be regulated? Who are these external players that are allowed to contribute towards your national grid? Well, joining us today is Rob Hutchinson, founder of DSA, who will discuss the intricacies of the ERA Bill and its implications for South Africa's energy landscape. Good evening to you, Rob.
Good evening, Junaid. I trust you're well.
Thank you for joining us. Rob, could you give us an overview of the Electricity Regulation Amendment Bill's key objectives and how it aims to reshape South Africa's energy sector?
Yes, sure. Thanks for the opportunity. So it's a complete overhaul of the Eskom distribution and transmission service, which is all part of the restructuring of Eskom. If you remember, quite some time ago, there was talk about breaking Eskom apart into various sectors, generation, transmission, and distribution. And this is part of that. What it does is it establishes an independent national transmission company, which will be known as the transmission system operator. And it mainly restructures the way that the energy sector works. It opens up the market to independent players who can set prices and create a competitive market, which is much needed in South Africa to overcome the monopoly that Eskom currently has. It allows producers of electricity to come in, set prices. However, it does still cater for a set tariff or tariff that is set by the National Energy Regulator, NERSA. It also takes away a lot of power from the minister. The minister had too much power in the past to, especially on the procurement of new energy and setting of tariffs and a lot of decisions around electricity. And it now places that in the hands of the regulator once again. There are certain times when the minister can still procure additional energy or electricity, but it still has to be in consultation with the National Energy Regulator. It streamlines a whole lot of licensing requirements. Previously, it was an enormous amount of red tape that had to be had to go through if somebody wants to become a producer of energy. They had to apply for certain licenses, and there were fees and a whole process which could take months, if not years. They've cut the approval times in half. The decisions have to be made within 60 days, or previously it was 120 days, and small facilities under around 100 kilowatts are exempted from applying for licenses. However, they must still register with NERSA. And I must note that there are still fees associated for accessing the network. However, it's a lot easier for independent energy producers or power producers to enter into the market. There are concerns, as you mentioned, about regulating, over-regulation. But however, the regulator does still determine the tariffs. However, now it'll be the same tariffs will apply to all customers and be applied across the board without any discrimination. Previously, the tariff structure was really difficult to understand. There were approximately 900 different tariffs or different tariff structures. Now it'll reduce that down to just a few across the board. So it simplifies the whole tariff structuring role. There's quite a few other issues around the bill, mostly about the shifting of the power from the minister to the regulator. And I'd say overall, it's a pretty good bill. There are certain issues around it which are still not quite up to speed. For instance, the National Energy Regulator have said previously that they don't have the capacity to introduce a tariff rate. Previously, they were in charge of regulating the applications by Eskom. Now, NERSA has to actually set the tariffs. They don't quite have the skills and the know-how on how to do that. However, I'm sure they will start up or somehow get that in place. As far as consumers go, I don't think it will reduce load shedding immediately in the short term. However, in the long term, I think that's a question that everybody wants to know. Will it stop load shedding? Not immediately, no, because there's still a lot of steps to get power to the grid. But it does help independents to access the grid a lot easier and therefore provide more power to the grid. So in the long term, I think it will eventually end load shedding. It might also bring the cost of electricity down. That'll be obviously through the competition amongst all the separate energy providers. However, the prices will still be regulated, so it'll be a slow transition into the new market, into a proper open and competitive market.
Rob, of course, for the foreseeable future, the national provider Eskom is going to be, you know, still the bulk generator as more and more licenses are procured in the different areas, and then over a matter of maybe decades, if very likely a decade and a half or so, you're going to see more and more independent contributors to the national grid. But one's concerned that, you know, the system itself should not be monopolized by a handful of players. I mean, we've seen that where you have a monopoly of energy providers or basic service providers, it doesn't always and very often has not worked out well for your consumers. I mean, if you've wanted to take sagas of the past, your Enron, etc., that, you know, saw the consumers are the short end of the stick, and that was directly as a result of the lack of proper oversight where you had independent producers come on, but their intentions were not just money-making, but of course, harboring on fraud. And then another concern is that electricity, like water, is a national need. I mean, you could collapse a country if you take away their access to the grid or access to water. And very likely, you are going to allow a percentage of foreign investments, people who don't necessarily have interest to, of the land itself. Is this a concern that you are opening up an important resource to foreign investments in some way or the other, thus endangering the actual access to the grid or making it more vulnerable? If endangerment is not the right word, your thoughts about that, Rob?
Yes, definitely. There is always a risk involved in, I wouldn't say it's privatization, because it's most certainly not privatization of the electricity supply or electricity transmission, but it's more of a cooperation, and it's still regulated by the National Energy Regulator, NERSA. And NERSA has been given a lot more power to oversee it, and they also approve licenses. They have to go through a whole checks and balances and everything else, and they have to keep monitoring performance and so on. They also can set limits on certain providers or energy generators, and of course then they will obviously oversee any collusion type activities. When you have several large players, as you said, they can always collude together to set energy prices. We have regulators in other sectors who are quite effective in controlling price collusion. We've seen effective management of that, and certain big players have been fined quite heavily. I'm sure that will continue throughout here. And what the bill actually promotes is not one, two, or three extra large players supplying electricity, but hundreds. It actually mentions that there should be hundreds in involved here, right from small power producers right up to major power producers. Certain municipalities are also allowing people to feed back into the grid, and then offsetting that against their rates and taxes bill. We're going to see more and more and more of that, and the bill does cater for that type of environment, a rooftop solar environment as well.
Rob Hutchinson, thank you for joining us on Radio Islam International with this discussion, and indeed more discussions to come about South Africa's national grid. But thank you for your time, Rob.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me on. Thank you for the opportunity.